This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's 7 o'clock, and in an effort to keep on time, we'll go ahead and get started. Our thoughts are with the mayor. He's still battling a kidney stone this morning. So in addition to the agendas, we'll get these gentlemen on right away. They may have other things in the day. So I'd like to introduce Till Camino, Johnson County Fire Warden, and he can introduce the rest of his group to talk about mitigation on Upper Cliff Creek.
All right, Till Camino, Johnson County Fire Warden. And the reason we're here to, well, first of all, I'll have these guys do a round robin on who we are and whoever their job description is.
Dave Archer, Speed Trust Lands.
Daniel Talis, Wildlife State Forest Division Assistant District Forester, District 5.
Jacob McCarthy, District Forester, District 5, State Forestry.
Todd Yeager, Bureau of Land Management, Field Manager. We administer the RPMQ for the Green Belt up there.
And Casey Prising, Assistant Field Manager in the Buffalo Field Office here. Also to represent the Green Belt.
So the purpose I got these guys together and meet you guys is we're worried about the land just west of Klondike, that city property, and all the fuel loads that are in there. Jake should have been here.
He's got kids.
Oh yeah, that's right, he's got kids. With the past season, two seasons with the Marshall Fire, the Palisade fires, we can go back to Ranchester. There's all sorts of fires that have been basically fueled by not treating the grasses and the trees in an area. I think State Forestry, Jacob, can you give us a little history on what we did?
I don't know the count of acres, but we have gone out and gotten some grant money for that area. Now, Mr. Camino is talking specifically of kind of a long Clear Creek right there. It's that river corridor that dries out, has a lot of dead down cottonwood and woody shrubs. We did have the conservation crew come over from Newcastle, I think in 2010?
I'm saying 6-10, somewhere.
Yeah. And they cleaned up a lot of that debris. We burned the piles in 16 or 17 to get rid of that fuel. As we know, though, that vegetation continues to grow, and it comes back. And it's going to be something that we're always going to want to kind of continue to monitor to mitigate, because if you did have fire established in there, you could have some diurnal wind alignment, which would be downsloping winds following that creek bed, that cool air coming down into town. And that could drive that fire down through that fuel during spring or fall time, or a very dry summer. The cottonwoods being a deciduous tree, if they're very dry, they'll burn just as readily, if not more, available for fuels than your coniferous conifer, your conifer trees, that fuel type in there, which is pretty minimal. So Mr. Tittle asked us to come and support approaching you guys on thinking about doing some work.
So with that being said, I got a hold of Mr. Yeager with BLM, and he did his research. So you want to go?
Yeah, I can have Casey dive in about the history of that. But we have, just add in there, that the city requests that we do have field specialists, we do have fire behavior analysis tools that we can run on request of the city down there. But that property is under a recreational public purpose patent. Casey was at a meeting last Saturday concerning that or the wetlands, so he can maybe provide you a background on that, and you know we can work collectively together on anything the city wants to do.
Sure, and that just kind of brings up a greater subject of that meeting that we had attended on Saturday. Gave me an opportunity and our staff to look at that file, and it was created in the mid-80s, and there really hasn't been much updating. There's been a little bit when the wetlands came in the mid-90s, but the whole plan of development there needs to be updated to match what currently is on the ground. There's some infrastructure out there that's not included in the plan, and so we could do that. I think we need to get an as-built of all the facilities out there, just get a plan. That plan could include prescribed burns, like we're grazing, It's nothing like that's off the table. It just had to be a plan with some sideboards. So
maybe a background on what an RTMP is, Casey.
So, I mean, I can give you the whole background. That really started back in the early 80s. That was a land exchange with the Rock Springs field office. So we exchanged some state for BLM. That BLM was 262 acres. And with that, gave the city an opportunity to apply for a recreation public purpose patent. And then that way, it was BLM. The city got the patent. It became city property. That as long as it's used for recreation in that area, and it stays as a green belt. And then if the city, or any entity were to fail to follow through with that patent, it would revert back to BLM surface. We don't want that, but that's just to give you a background of how that patent works. And so the city applied for it back in the middle 80s, and obviously got the patent, and that's where we're at now. But it's kind of gone, hasn't been a whole lot of attention on it, other than, you know, it's used as a school track there, baseball fields, a walk pathway, and then the wetlands, which was really the point of discussion on Saturday, and the importance of keeping those wetlands up. There are some changes there. I mean, there's a mitigation plan, and the Corps of Engineers was at the meeting, and he was putting together, trying to pull that file to see what all those requirements are for the wetlands. But a big change there is the Shiloh Division, subdivision that got put in upstream. That's affected the watershed to some degree. There's actually some outlet pipes, I'm assuming they're from stormwater, that now dump into wetlands, which is fine, because that's the purpose of a wetland.
It's none of that's groundwater. It's not stormwater.
Is it groundwater?
It's groundwater for sump pumps.
Oh, okay. So is it not tied to the...
No.
Okay.
No, it's already existing groundwater.
Okay.
It's not stormwater.
But that's still a change the flow of the wetland. But you're right.
The difference between stormwater couldn't go there, groundwater. It's a little different story. So, because it's already in the ground.
But. Yeah, from my standpoint, it's really we can support whatever the city wants to do on that property for any type of mitigation. We can help model it. A larger topic is we need to sit down with the city and a work group and get the business plan. I mean, we haven't done a good job at communicating what's there. People change. It gets put on a shelf and forgot. But try to get everything out there, captured, business plan updated, development plan updated, and then we're good to go, and then we'll just establish frequent check-ins. But
so we're talking with everybody, what we would really like to see is some grazing in there. Because with prescribed fire, we have to work with the DEQ, and they're so hard to work with because of the smoke. And they tell us when to burn, how much to burn, why to burn and everything. Jacob wasn't here, but when we were trying to burn the piles up there, they were just horrible to work with. They kind of said, all right, this is the day you have to burn. And when you're doing prescribed fire, that just does not work. You have to have the certain conditions. And Jake McClure was up the other day, and he walked it. He's going to burn that would be just a nightmare, because it would have to be small, very small lots. So our suggestion is some mitigation grazing. You know, there's sheep, goats, cattle, and that's why we brought Dave here. He's with the state lands, and you can go on how they do that up to the veterans.
Yeah, we have a grazing lessee up there that's currently grazing that area, and we can open gates and move something down, you know, with his cattle, use it in there, or if you guys want to go out and get another lessee or something, I mean, that's plausible.
What's the status on the fencing out there?
This fencing?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
It would probably be electric around the perimeter to do some kind of a grazing fence.
There's no fences now, though.
You better plan on fencing off the walking path. Cows poop on walking paths, and people get really mad for that. Last time there was cows in there. the phone will be ringing. That's been the trouble all along with agriculture here, although I'm glad to see. So with recreation, we can have agriculture and recreation disabled.
Okay.
Yeah, and how just, about thoughts on what DEQ think of the cows traipsing back and forth across the creek? And do you have any trouble? Because last thing I worked on spent several years ago when the DEQ was paying huge amounts for people to fence the creek off and put in water systems.
I mean, where we have other grazing allotments, and I got them on the tongue, and other river systems, we have had a DEQ issue.
They don't care.
I mean, the tongue's even impaired for some systems there, and we just worked with the conservation district on the water quality monitoring program there.
Okay.
And I really think you need to look at some high-intensity, short-duration grazing so you don't have livestock there all summer. You're going to get them in high numbers. You're going to get the impact you want. You're going to get them out. And it would be a lot of work as far as putting up electric fence and moving electric fence. Be a lot of work there. But you'd really have to try to figure out something high-intensity, especially when you're dealing with those wetlands. Timing is everything.
The last time there was cows in there, I know the neighbors up the creek, and my God, they were calling constantly, because when a cow sees greener grass, they don't care. And it's just been, they tried goats, that appeared like it brought the mountain lions downtown. So goats was kind of, that didn't work very well. And I mean, I'm all for getting the craze down. I look at it all the time too, but it's just been real trick through the years to make that happen.
Gomer, when was the last time the city had grazing in there?
Oh, I think actually what it was some of Joe's cattle, and they came down off of the, they let them down in there off of the.
It was the middle 80s, it's documented.
That long.
Yeah, it was quite a while ago. And then there was a plan put together, like, I'd say mid 90s to do it, and then the pin got pulled for whatever reasons. Brought up. There was some record in the file of people upset with the livestock being grazed, but I think at that time, just based on what I was reading, they were just dumped out there and there really wasn't much management. I think if you followed like what Todd was saying, at that high intensity, short duration, had electric fence moving through, I think the public could probably understand. And I don't think you want to label it as agriculture use. You're looking at fire mitigation for the recreation, which makes sense considering what we've just dealt with.
We did have goats. I do remember that. But she pulled them out as soon as the lions came. So.
Yeah. They were good bait for the lions bringing right into town.
There's lots of them.
Can we add lions to bow hunting there, then?
I guess
looking at the map server, it looks like all the trees are from the walking path towards the creek. Are you looking more in that area or from the walking path north, which is more grassland?
All of it. The fine fuel is just as bad as the trees.
Yeah, because that's the problem. That walking path is right in the middle of it.
The fine fuels get started, the fire gets up in the trees, the wind comes along, gets in the treetops, and it goes.
Yeah.
So our main goal here is for firefighter safety and public safety. And I know everybody's going to whine about something, but when we kill a firefighter or burn down somebody's house, it's totally different. So, you guys got anything more? You guys got any more questions?
Do we need a committee for this business?
How much, you said if they had the grazing, we need an electric fence around them. Did I hear that right?
Yeah. Well, that's good. Probably fastest option is to go electric fence.
Mm-hmm. How much fence?
Well, it's 200, the parcel is 262 acres. So, I think there's portions of it that there's some fence up. But still, with the way we'd want to manage it, I think there would be a lot of intense electric fence use.
You could. People that do high-intensity short duration, they move the electric fence. They just don't put it all up and move it. So as they move livestock from this small cell to this cell, they flip this fence over to the next one they're going to. So they flip the fence as they go. For somebody to do that and somebody that labor, I don't know if it's labeled fields management, if there's even any grants out there that we can go for, they actually pay somebody to do that. Therefore, you have almost that contract and that desired outcome that gives you the ability to say, okay, it's time to move, let's go and get livestock moved and get some labor funds to move that fence wherever.
Will those grants be through like BLM or through the fire or?
I don't have grants at the Bureau. I don't know what's out there. I think, you know, important component in the old file on the grazing system that RCS was involved. I don't know what they have there. They were the ones that there is a whole grazing file from the 90s plan that was put together by NRCS for down there. I haven't looked at it that much. I just briefly looked at it with Casey on the file to dig in to see what's the viability or detail in it. But I don't know what they have for grants there.
And back when we had the fire mitigation program, it was I can't remember, it was through State Forestry, but it got so competitive, we put in for it, we weren't getting off of it, so that's why we kind of let that program go. And now with all the other, like the Palisade, the California Fire Mitigation, money's going to be really hard to get. So, but I mean, we could look into it and see what we can come up with. I mean, between BLM, State Forestry, there might even be some programs through the Forest Service. I don't know. And see how that's a watershed.
Probably going to be a FEMA hazard mitigation grant on that, some sort of grant from them with that new hazard mitigation plan we came up with. We're kind of eligible for anything that they to put in for whatever they do have, if they have something for that sort of thing.
And I think we did put fire mitigation on that.
It was part of the plan.
Yeah. So to follow up on what Todd said is some updating and maybe a committee to get together and discuss this. Do I have anyone on the council that would like to sit in on that committee? And then we'll have Julie do some scheduling.
So the idea is to come back at another meeting like this with those kind of findings, right?
Okay. And come up with a plan, update some plans, because yeah. They haven't been done since the 90s, is that what I'm gathering?
Well, I'd like to do a field trip out there, but I need to know how far upstream from Klondike.
It starts right at Klondike.
I know, but it goes upstream from there, right?
Right, it goes, how far? What is that, 3/4 of a mile, I think? I don't know that, I can't even
remember. Not all the way to the VA.
It goes to the VA property.
The VA property.
Yeah, there's private in between. It goes on.
So is it the trail then?
Oh yeah, where that bridge is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where we find it.
It's too long.
There's the only trail is up in the creek, and then there's one that flies off and goes to the Cedar Center.
Shido.
And then the rest of that trail goes
all the way. It's all that area, all these. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Well, not all the way to the VA. The VA, the state lands comes down. I know it's 2 miles from Klondike to the VA on the trail.
Yeah.
So we have our committee: Myra, Tittle, Casey, and Todd.
You know, an idea would be if we wanted to have the meeting at our office, we could pull up, we have a projector and we could pull up the file and you could see the map at a better scale.
Yeah.
And we'd have a file there just to look through some of the history, get some of the facts of the pre-built film. Is that a suggestion?
Yeah. I'd be willing to help with that as well.
Thanks, Scott. Any other questions for our gentleman?
I think the area in green, the state lands is the one there.
I guess another question, is there any concern about the state land on the south side of Upper Clear Creek Road against?
Wherever there's vegetation.
That's the baseball.
Yeah, because that state just has so much chunk there.
That's what I was thinking.
If we could partner with them maybe at the same time, would that be easier to get a grant?
More land to get, probably the more land the better.
Yeah.
We can put it as a whole. I mean, it's been a long time since
they've grazed that side, just not near hard enough, because historically, as you know, the fires that we've had in Clear Creek was started on that side, and the one big one jumped to the city side, and the last one was a power line that got those houses up on Klondike around the hilltop. So, but that's been grazed, but there's places where the old motorcycle trails used to be that that can't be really taken care of. And it's a,
is it on the south side of Clear Creek Road? Isn't that leased?
Yeah, well, Jeff's been,
yeah,
had his cattle in there, but there's not enough of them to do that kind of. And then as you get up, he goes about, you know, you don't see him much past Ken Taylor's place there, because that is just into that hillside of, and pretty tough to. But up in there is where the fires have started in the last several years. There's only been a couple, but and the one jumped to the city's land, and it was going good.
Well, thank you all for coming this morning and sharing, and we'll look forward to going forward.
Great. Thanks for your time.
So next on our agenda is Ordinance 1421. These first three, are we ready to put them on the agenda tonight, or do we want to wait for later? So animal control amendments, Ordinance 1421.
I was looking at the old version of the new version.
So it started with talking about quarantining animals with rabies. This came from the shelter. So from there, we had some edits. Mostly, I think it's just grammar. You know, instead of person or persons, it's just person or person. You know, we took out a lot of redundancy here. The only question I have, this has been reviewed now by Dennis, all of us, but by Dennis and by Kisa. Chief, I will call your attention to towards the end, 417.1.
Yeah.
The very right before section 3 there, it says, it shall be unlawful for any owner knowing or suspecting a dog or cat that has rabies to allow to leave the premises unless under the custody of law enforcement or a vet or animal control officer. There was question by the attorney's office that do we have anybody qualified to, you know, handle, is the animal control officer qualified to handle rabid animals? So should we just take this section out? I see it was added in like it was added in 2013. So somebody thought it was a great idea to put that paragraph in there, but I do think that for the liability, we maybe should strike that.
Yes.
Now this will take three readings to pass this.
And this is something they want.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But just basically saying that if you have a rabid animal, you can keep it at home. It doesn't have to go to the
shelter. I have two of them.
Okay, so keep them at home.
I do.
But don't have to go to the shelter.
Fences are locked. No one's allowed in. When they're not allowed out.
I've got two also. They're called daughters.
So are we ready for this to have its first reading this evening?
I will let the animal shelter know as well, because they've been waiting for this.
Was that in there in 2013? Because did Karen have training with rabid animals?
I don't know.
That's when she is. That's been that for a long time.
Catching people, things with dog balls. No. Yeah.
Soup, has mouth soup.
Yes. Yeah. Aspects.
What's that kid's name?
Monsters. Yeah. Next up on our agenda is Buffalo, Wyoming Community Grant Lease Agreement. Hopefully we've had time to consider this, read through it. Is this agreement ready to be on the agenda tonight?
Dennis has no changes.
And this is the same one we did last year?
We haven't signed this one yet. They came with some changes, and then I sent you guys one that was all marked up, highlighted. Trying to find what the changes were.
Yeah, I think it'd be good to get a lease agreement since they're using the facility.
And there is ice, right?
helps keep track of liability.
Well, does that keep other people out that aren't a member of the club?
I don't think they, I think there's a provision in here that they can't not, they have to allow people to use the rink. It's not just for club members only. But this is so that they get some control of, they want to do more with it, and we kind of tie their hands because we're not going to give them keys to the water system. And
no.
So what improvements are they trying to do there now? I mean, I remember some of this going on a few years ago when they first were trying, and then they were trying to get a Zamboni. And
yeah. Well, I'm sure there are some that still very much want the Zamboni. They can't get a Zamboni. It would have to come to the city. And then we don't want to build a building for a Zamboni. Who's carrying the liability? I mean, that's one thing, but their plan changes a lot, so I don't know. Right now, I think they bought some nets and some, okay. I don't remember what it was. But
taking care of the boards, like the outside boards is one of them. Maybe doing a roof over top. I think that's...
But at this point, there hasn't been any improvements. If they decide after a year, you know, we don't want to do this, we're not taking something back that we're going to have to maintain any different than we already maintained.
Right. No, they haven't built anything yet.
I mean, it's good that they're wanting to do something. The dock just hasn't gotten a lot of use over the years. And
well, I'll leave that with you. I'll put it on the agenda tonight if you want to review it one more time. You can vote tonight. Yep.
Do the improvements? Any improvements have to come through council before done?
Yeah.
I know we have that in our golf course.
Any grant that they apply for, if they're trying to build improvements, the city has to sponsor that or be the applicant, right?
They did get 1% funding in this current year. They have 1% funding.
Good.
And I know if they get this lease agreement, that will strengthen their...
Did they go up to recreation funds, too?
I don't know.
That just would make more sense to me.
Yeah, they could potentially go direct for it. You have to leave. I think one of the things I need to fix is when we did the boards, 10, 15 years ago, there weren't enough. So Clark Chesbro at the high school, they built plywood and 2x4 boards for part of it, and some of those are getting worn and need replaced. But yeah, I don't know. But that's probably, that's been a while.
Well, and I think with this group, one of the things that we have stressed to them is that this is a skating rink. It's not, it's a multi-purpose rink. It's not a hockey rink. And I know this group is particularly interested in keeping it hockey. I think your serious hockey players probably are using shared and using the
end. Yeah. That rent's $10, not $1,000.
I mean, is there going to be, like when the Bass Festival comes, they use that area for dancing and entertainment and some things. I mean, is they, sometimes it's not just used as...
They have used that.
They've used it as kind of a platform.
In number 13, scheduling activities, it's which allow for a variety of community uses and activities in the facility. So they did try to cover that.
Luckily, when that event goes on, there's no ice on that. So, won't have a lot of broken hips and ankles and sliding.
If there is, so you got serious.
Or maybe they should put ice there.
I know, like square dancers, they brought in a group to do that. Made them all sign a waiver that if they did break their hips.
Or you drink too much coffee, I don't know. Go out there and sign this waiver. I'm good with it being on the, it's been about 3 years in the making, so it's good, it's moving forward with something.
Third on our agenda, Resolution 1489, adopt capital improvements plan. Are we ready for this to go on the agenda this evening?
We are. have the resolution and the pages behind it and the list of are the wish list. Thank you, Terry, for compiling this. And this is something that we will update every year. So if we've missed something, definitely let us know. We will add it for next year. And of course, these can move depending on when we get funding and.
And the dashboard has also been updated, so that same dashboard we had before, we can put the new link onto the website, so show the new, basically updated list.
And this, of course, helps us when we go for any one of these grants. They say, do you have a comprehensive plan? Do you have capital improvement plan? So it just strengthens our grant agreements. So I will put that on tonight's meeting as well. Moving on, WAM, call to action, Senate File 128. So I don't know if you guys saw this email come in yesterday. This is to remove sales tax on electricity. There is no backfill, and it was a cut of $21 million to local government. So there's a chart in here showing how much it would cut us.
Did that pass?
It came out
of committee 3-2, and it be on the floor committee of all the day. At top of the back page, city would lose $118,000. County would lose $107,000 by this. So it is significant that they're probably going to be cut quite a bit of property tax, too. We've got multiple.
These layers of all these taxes.
We need to get rid of some of the 50-plus
taxes. So if you get a chance, reach out to your
I have a lot of comments, so I'm going to say to the recording.
Thank you, Wes.
Yeah.
I think next up on our agenda is parking. Is that you, Wes?
Yeah, I had a couple of questions, I guess. Two things. I talked to Shane about it, maybe it was Commissioner Novotny, that with the upcoming construction, there was some talk about trying to make sure we had signs up to where people could park while all this is shut down here. We reached out to see if it was okay if we could park in some of these other parking lots for, not us, but for our tourists, people coming downtown to shop during that time, so we all know it's going to be a mess. Does anybody know anything I'm talking about?
So Jeff Shelley and Mayor Schrader formed a committee. I can't remember who else was on that committee.
I don't know if they've met, but right.
Okay, so there's something in process then.
But we've also talked about our spot behind 4th on Main, and it's because it's between the two blocks, easy access. If we're going to have our businesses required to hard surface their parking lots, it would be a good time to do that.
And yeah, I remember that being talked about. Maybe it was in December or early January meeting. Okay. So, and then I understood that the parking committee was going to maybe talk to Arnett or the tree place. Do they still own that plot? To see if it was okay if people could park there for 3 months or whatever the case may be. I didn't know if those discussions had ever happened. Or
I don't think it's going to be 3 months because the push is for it to be done by Memorial Day. Yeah. So we're looking at a spring to early summer project.
I hope that's the case.
This should go fairly fast, this down. It's just the road on the hill. There's no lot we're not replacing. Well, site service lines, but other than that, it should be a pretty quick deal.
I think also if we had some signage up pointing to where you're talking about, Myra and Brzezinski Park, but I've just seen over the years a lot of people just don't want to drive to Brzezinski and walk a half a block back. But Okay.
So something's in process of discussions happening. Okay. The other thing was sometime, I think it was last year, Kevin, we had talked about this, I think it was in December before I came back to council, these parking spots that got removed right next to Margo's building. While I understood the one coming out of the alley of the turn issue that we needed to take away one and a half or two spots, can we see about bringing those spots from the alley back towards Main Street back? I think there's maybe three or four or five, maybe it's four or three right next to Margo's building. We had talked and you said the trash wasn't an issue because they have to pull it out no matter what.
They have to pull it out to turn it.
People have been parking there for almost 20 years that I've lived here, many years before that, so I don't know why.
Well, not many years before that, because it was not in the parking.
It was a fire lane originally. I mean, if you believe it was marked red before.
Yeah, that. Okay. For the 17 years I've been in this town, parking hadn't been allowed there, so it was.
Part of it is the width of that street and what's in our ordinances, and then the other part is that retaining wall next to the creek.
Yeah, okay. So... so we weren't worried about it for that long, and now we're worried about it. Can we put up like a railing if we're worried about the retaining wall?
I don't think it's the falling off. I think it's the retaining wall giving out.
Yeah.
It's gotten through the years.
So is that something we need to replace, the retaining wall?
You know.
This is a difference, because I've heard three or four different stories of why that got taken away through out the community.
I know the retaining wall part is.
I mean, as far as the narrow road, the road didn't get more narrow. So I was just wondering why that got taken away and why we can't.
Well,
we have parking issues right now, so.
Maybe the bigger question is, why did it get changed from non-parking, which it was for years, to parking? What was the motivation behind that?
Well, I remember what happened on this one over here by 4th on Main. You know, but I don't know why there's been parking there for so long and then there wasn't. Because I've had the people down there ask me throughout the last year, why did this happen? I don't know. And I heard the garbage, and I heard it was people needed a room to turn in off the alley. And downtown, I'd always hear there's no place to park. We're taking away parking.
And I think we have a walking problem, not a parking problem.
We very well might, but I don't see why taking away those parking spots was needed. So that's just my thoughts, and I was wanting to see us discuss bringing some of those back.
I guess next to 4th on Main there, There were originally two parking spots to the east of the alley that were designed when Nelson redesigned that road. If you notice that the road widens there, it makes a curve towards the creek, and there was room for parking there, but I don't know if there's a possibility we could maybe get two spots there just to help with the construction, because if they do it like they did North Main, they do it under live traffic, it'll be no parking anywhere on Main Street, and traffic on two lanes and construction on two lanes, so it.
I still think that lot behind 4th on Main, it's a half a block. It would be like, especially from where you're talking, 20 steps past that.
And there were two, wasn't there, after the construction?
Yeah,
there were two spots before we.
Yeah,
before
and,
became a
and Brent had them designed in there, but then when they decided no parking, they just said, oh, the road's too narrow, but they didn't bother to check with the engineer actually had designed it for parking there with the way it was built.
It seems like that's where maybe Mark used to park.
Used to park there when he'd unload into the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So, but that's something I guess the parking committee can look into that as well. Maybe, I don't know.
But we don't know if the committee's met yet or not. They just talked about doing a committee at this point.
And it was Jody. Yeah, I think it was Jody. Any more on parking? Hey, major capital construction projects updates.
Well, they're all kind of in hibernation right now due to the cold weather. So, not much going on there. The Wells project is still going, ongoing. And will be. So, with that being said, I am actually going down to the SLIB meeting Thursday, where we are put in for the tank repair project. It's a $600,000 loan. It's recommended for funding. So think there's 288,000 change in loan forgiveness, and then a 0.75% on the interest for that. And that's it. That is recommended for funding, and then also 479,000 for the Wells project, a grant, which is also ranked number one and recommended for funding also. So.
Nice.
On Thursday.
We could use $1 million.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, thanks. And yeah, and so I guess that's pretty much all I have on that. Probably a little slow, had a couple water leaks. One another thing I might bring up, I did talk with Travis Rule about the irrigation line that goes, I think it's up Clear Creek ditch going. Anyway, it goes from Cemetery Creek to Klondike, goes under several streets through town. And he's in the initial stages. I mean, this is a ways out before anything will happen, but he's looking at getting funding, doing grants, whatever, to try to put that into an actual pipeline instead of an open ditch. So I guess his biggest question is the city to be in support of it, which it's really not our ditch, but ditch anyway has nothing to do with it except it runs through town. But, that ditch does leak quite a bit in places around town, so it probably wouldn't be a bad thing to do through there. It would do it, take care of some issues.
We can write a nice letter of support when the time comes.
So, and like I say, that's a ways out. I actually have to, and I do have it now, culvert that we got to replace on Walters. One that gave out last summer, rusted out. So we'll have to do that regardless, because I don't think it'll last that long. Won't last another season. So, but anyway, that's just something coming up. Just want to let you know about it.
Has Rocky Mountain Power got any scheduling on the lights at Flatiron?
So I haven't seen the schedule yet. I've been in contact with them, but it's...
And they normally just wait till and just show up whatever.
Yeah.
If you like it.
Yeah, but it is still on the radar, and I'm still... still bugging them about it, so... So, that's pretty much all I have.
Thank you. Gomer, anything?
Just been, for us, fairly busy. We're running well ahead of last year, and last year was pretty darn busy. Don't know why, but it'll calm down.
Chief?
We've been busy. We do have an applicant right now going through the process to fill our patrol spot. He's actually from Fremont County. He's already an officer there, so he's looking to come back to Buffalo to be closer to family in Sheridan, so now it's just a matter of can he find a house. So, fingers crossed we can find some housing for them and hopefully get us up to where we need to be, and we'll be full then in patrol and obviously we're full and dispatch. So other than that, just busy.
Sounds busy. Terry?
Just been working on redlining chapter 5 or building ordinance to bring in this new codes 2024 cycle. So I think I've got that all redlined to what the changes are in the sections of change in the books. And so the things, certain things we've adopted, I've had to go through and make sure that those sections do or do not correspond to the new book and take some things out. So I'm just now, I'm going to get that with Dennis and Keesa and have them help me put it into a whatever form we needed it to make it adoptable or whatever we need to do there. So I'll get with him and we'll get that figured out, and then we'll get that in front of you guys and take a look at it. Other than that, that's all I got. I guess I'll go to this meeting on Richardson Park Thursday, just to be there.
Where's that at, Turn?
At the high school.
Auditorium.
6 o'clock.
And that's all I got.
Julie? I just... House Bill 85, that's the simulcasting bill. That's in Marilyn's committee. That was assigned to her. So, and I think
I've talked with Ashley in the WAM office. We are okay with this bill, and we are okay with all the amendments that have been added with the commissioners and WAM. So I don't know where we're at on it, if it's still in committee or whatever. But
it was in committee yesterday morning. I watched some of the testimony.
So we can just let Marilyn know that we're in support of it. So that, and then I guess just that meeting. That's our agenda tonight is just those three items that we talked about. Unless there's something else I've missed. Anybody bringing surprises? Councilman Madsen.
Oh, I guess the only surprise I have, it's not really a surprise, but I guess there's, I guess, potential interest again in our business park property out there, and they're talking, we did the RFP before for real estate agent to be able to market it for us, and would, I can't remember the process because it's been a while. Do we need to pass a resolution or something to authorize a RFP, or how do we?
No, I think we just, and I'll check with Dennis, I think we put out the RFP, and then whoever is, whatever realtors are interested in listing it, they...
But since we've done it before, we've already have an old RFP, I think it'd be worth it to get proposals from them. We don't have to accept any of them, but we could at least see what they'd be willing to do for us.
So was that only for a certain time period, and then it...
Yeah, and we extended it even because we were maybe getting an offer, but then we didn't. So you say interest, you're saying a business or a realtor is interested?
A potential business, I guess. So. Business looking to relocate to a different parcel of town. They're trying to find land, but right now we can't sell it without them. Much more strenuous process. So this would be a simpler way to put the liability, I guess, let the realtor is the one at risk, I guess. They'd be the one at risk to have to spend the money to market it, I guess. It's not much risk to the city except having to publish the RFP notice.
Councilman Madden?
No, I don't have anything.
Councilman Haskins?
No.
I'm good. Public press. With that, have a great... Oh, two announcements. Again, the subdivision meeting tonight, Thursday night, 6 o'clock. Next department meeting, March 4th. We'll see you guys tonight at 5.
This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.